kind of excited here. I don't speak to you very often. I used to bring messages quite often before a congregation in Bastrop where we used to worship out of a necessity. We've got so many people that are more capable than I to do it here. I don't do very much. One time back in Bastrop, after a lesson that I gave, I guess Kaylee was about 10, she says, "Why don't you just tell them to read the Bible and do what it says? And just, why all this talk? Just read the Bible, do what it says." And that's pretty good advice, but maybe it's a little bit more that we need to do. There are some times when we need to explain things that we read about, try to figure out what they mean. And then once knowing what they mean, we need to figure out how to make application of those things. And two, sometimes we need a little encouragement to do what's right too. So hopefully we'll do some of those things tonight. We'll look at some scripture. I want to relate a personal experience and see how that personal experience and the scripture connect with each other. We'll look at a little more scripture and offer an invitation, and we'll be finished for the evening. The scripture we're going to look at is Acts chapter 17, verse 23 or 22 through 33. It's Paul's second missionary journey, where the event occurs during his missionary journey. I'm going to start reading at verse 22. I think this will be the longest part of the lesson, is reading. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him I declare to you, God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made in hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man who he has ordained, whereof he has given assurances unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We'll hear of thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them." Kind of one of my favorite passages, I think, just the beauty of that speech that he made to those people in Athens. The Greeks had a very rich culture. They had a well-organized government. They had religions. They had philosophies. They had art. They had literature. They had amazing architecture that stands to this day. And they had this quest for knowledge. But they didn't know who their creator was, and that he's the source of all of those things that they had and enjoyed and saw around them. And they didn't know they were accountable to him as a judge in the end times. They just didn't know. Now, the personal experience, we've come to that, just finished up that time of year when we're exchanging presents with one another. And I was thinking back about 40 years ago, as a young parent with a young child, a little 3-year-old. And like most parents, I suppose, we want to give our kids something really nice and really special, especially when they're young like that. But we're awful poor and didn't have very much money to go around. But we got this little 3-year-old, Lisa, her firstborn, this coolest toy. It was a doll. But the good part was the doll came with its own car. She had a car that she could ride around in. And the car was programmable. You could move little pegs around in it, and it would and it could go by itself. It could turn right and left and back up and turn around and come back. You could make it go where you wanted by moving the little pigs around. I stayed about all Christmas Eve working on that little car, learning how it worked and playing with it. It was a great toy. I suppose the doll could do stuff too, probably cry or burp or something, but the car was the good part. So I was pretty excited to see how excited she was going to be Christmas morning, you know, when she opened that present and saw that cool doll and that even better car that was in there. Now, parents who have sort of been through this, that age of kids, probably know where this is all going. She tore the paper off of that thing and pulled that doll and that car out of the box, and she jumped in the box and played in the box while the toy, the car, and the doll laid there. And it was just making me nuts that she liked that stupid box to play in and ignored the present that we'd sacrificed to get her. It was kind of a big deal. It was a lot of money. 40 years ago, $10 would have been a lot of money. So what's the connection between what we started out with, that scripture in Acts 17? Do you see that all of those things that God provided for the Athenians to enjoy, we talked about the arts and the architecture and the poetry and all of that, was just the packaging. And verse 27 says that the purpose of all of that was that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him. His purpose in all that was that they should know him, they should know God. And Paul told them that the present, really, is the knowledge of God and his eternal promises. The rest is just the box that it all came in. But they were more interested in playing with the box. So the mention of this eternal life about somebody being resurrected from the dead, that was like, oh, that's, I don't want to hear any more about this stuff. That's just crazy talk. They went back to playing in the box. So grown-ups can be a lot like three-year-olds, you know, the same kind of way. Even present-day Christians, we're not just going to limit this stuff to cracking on the Athenians a couple thousand years ago, but Christians today can confuse the present and the package just like they did back then. Because we sometimes claim the name but don't really live like God's children are supposed to live. Romans 8:13 says, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption." We should live holy lives and not be fearful. We should anticipate heaven. We should also anticipate the suffering on the way. But often we don't show our faith, and we don't show that holy living by our actions, or our works is another way to say our actions. James 2:17 says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." So when we play at being Christians, we come to worship every once in a while. We seldom participate. We seldom help anyone. We seldom do anything to enrich anybody else's lives or encourage anyone else. We're just playing with the box. We're enjoying the sunshine. We're enjoying the facility. We're enjoying one another's social company. But we're really just playing in the box like the three-year-old is doing. The gift is the opportunity to live a life for God that leads to an even greater gift of eternal life in his presence. Luke 11:28, these are the words of Jesus, says, "But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Hear the word and keep it. Not just play in the box, but claim the present and enjoy that. So I was pretty disappointed to see my little one just playing in that box and ignoring the real gift that we'd given her. And I just beg you to not disappoint God in that same way. Not let him find us just playing in the box instead of going for the present. So that is the invitation. If anyone needs to respond to it, well, they need to respond by obeying first principles and being baptized into the Lord, or if you find that you've been lacking in your Christian duty, either way, you're encouraged to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song. Thanks a lot.